Turn with me, please, to Mark chapter 2, verses 15 through 17. And it came to pass that as Jesus sat at meat in his house, many publicans and sinners sat also together with Jesus and his disciples, for there were many, and they followed him. And when the scribes and Pharisees saw him eat with publicans and sinners, they said unto his disciples, How is it that he eateth and drinketh with publicans and sinners? When Jesus heard it, he saith unto them, They that are whole have no need of the physician, but they that are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Jesus had just called Matthew, a publican, to follow after him. Matthew evidently had invited Jesus to have a meal in his house, along with many of his friends and acquaintances. As Matthew was a publican, he would likely have known other publicans. The Pharisees considered publicans, or tax collectors, to be thieves because many of them collected taxes unjustly. Matthew evidently had friends who were morally less than reputable as well. It's clear from the context that Jesus was not merely engaging in debaucheries, he was teaching. Moreover, the people were listening and they were following his teachings. The Pharisees, however, were not interested in their repentance as much as they were interested in their social status, hence their criticisms. Jesus responds to them that he came not to call the righteous but sinners to repentance. We recall in our songbooks a song that goes, Christ receiveth sinful men. And so from the title of that great song, we began with understanding why does Christ receive sinful men? Well, because men need to be received. There is a great need in this world that Christ receive us because of sin, because of being in the depths of it. This implies that they are in a state of not being received. In Isaiah chapter 59 and verse 2, it says, But your iniquities are separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you, that he will not hear. Sin separates us from God. It's a universal thing. That is, everyone has this problem. Every reasoning person has the problem with regard to sin. Everyone that is reach the age of accountability, that can understand about belief and repentance and confession and submission to baptism and submission to Christ. We have all sinned and come short of the glory of God, Romans 3 verse 23 tells us. With regard to our relationship with God, we all need to be received by God. We are in desperate need of it. And we need to realize that because without Jesus, men would be lost and without hope. And we need to make that personal. That is, without Jesus, we would be lost. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 11 and 12, we read, Wherefore remember that once ye, the Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called circumcision in the flesh, made by hands, that ye were at that time separate from Christ, alienated from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of the promise, having no hope and without God in the world. That is, this is the condition of the world, alienated from God. We need to realize that sin has done this to us, and we are responsible. Romans chapter 6 and verse 23, For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Jesus is the only one who may receive sinful men on behalf of God. He chose to receive sinful men by taking their sins on him to the cross, or on the cross. 2 Corinthians 5:21. Him who knew no sin, he made to be sin on our behalf, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Christ chose it, and so we may accept it. God approved him for receiving sinful men by God's resurrecting him from the dead. He hath appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men, and that he hath raised him from the dead. Acts 17, verse 31. And there is no one else that can. Acts chapter 4 and verse 12. There is, and none other is there salvation, neither is there any other name under heaven that is given among men, wherein we must be saved. But we see now, and ask now, how does Christ receive sinful men? He does it by calling. He doesn't pour it into your head and make you repent. No, he calls us by calling the sinner. 2 Thessalonians 2 and verse 14 makes it clear that we are called by the gospel. That good news that even though we're all in sin, we can be saved. By calling the sinner to do what? To come home. Matthew chapter 11 verses 28 through 30. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. From the Mount of Transfiguration, the Lord God of heaven looked upon man and noted his Son, that we are to hear him. Mark chapter 9 and verse 7. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. We are to obey that word. Hebrews chapter 5, verses 8 and 9. Though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all that obey him. He is the author of salvation unto all that obey him. He has called us to believe. Believe what? That he is the Son of God. John 8:24, except ye believe that I am he, ye shall die in your sins. He has called us to repent. He says in Acts 3, verse 19, that is, the apostle says, repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. He has called us to confess. Matthew chapter 10, verse 32. Whosoever confesses me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. He calls us to be baptized. Mark chapter 16 and verse 16, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. And on that great day of Pentecost, the Apostle Peter stands, speaking tongues that he has never learned, and with tongues of fire on his head, speaks out to the people and says, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Because of those signs on that day, the speech of Peter may well be considered the speech of God himself from the throne of heaven. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. He invites us and calls us to him by cleansing the sinner. Ephesians 5, verse 26, by the washing of water through the word. Through faith. Acts chapter 15 and verse 9, he says, cleansing their hearts by faith. Through his blood. Hebrews chapter 9, verses 13 and 14, for if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of a heifer, sprinkling them that have been defiled, sanctify unto the cleanness of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without blemish unto God, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. The blood of Christ calls us to salvation. We also need to take into consideration what are the results of Christ receiving sinful men. A sinner is forgiven of sins. If Christ receives you, and that is by faith and through the obedience of those that he calls, then remission of sins is what happens. Matthew chapter 26 and verse 28. I'm about to talk about two of the most glorious days in the history of mankind. One is where Jesus initiated the Lord's Supper, Matthew 26 and verse 28. The other is when the church itself was initiated. In this first instance, it's on that night where Jesus is contemplating his going to the crucifixion. And he's speaking to those closest to him. Matthew chapter 26, verse 28 reads, he says, as he initiates the Lord's Supper, "For this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins." Of course, we've already noted Acts chapter 2 and verse 38. "Then Peter said unto them, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins." Baptism for the one who believes and confesses Christ before men. For this person, there is remission of sins. What does remission mean? It simply means forgiveness. It means that sins have been taken away. There is forgiveness of trespasses in Colossians chapter 2 and verse 13. Colossians chapter 2 and verse 13. As we turn there, we remember verse 12 tells us, "Buried with him in baptism, wherein also we are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God." Then notice Colossians 2 and verse 13. "And you, being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses." God no longer remembers our sins against us when we take Christ on in baptism. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 17. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 17. He says, or the Hebrews writer writes, "And their sins and iniquities will I remember no more." The sinner's fellowship is restored to God. He is redeemed from sin to serve God. Romans 6, verse 17 and 18. "But God be thanked that you were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. And being made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness." Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 17, "In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace." The child of God is reconciled to God because of Jesus' invitation, because of his work of redemption on the cross, because of our belief and obedience to the gospel of Christ. Romans 5 and verse 10, "For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son, much more being reconciled shall we be saved by his life." He has fellowship with God, that is the child of God. 1 John 1 and verse 3, "That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you also, that ye also may have fellowship with us. Yea, and our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ." The sinner is converted, is made a saint. 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 2, "Unto the church of God which is at Corinth, even them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, with all that call upon the name of our Lord Jesus Christ in every place." Now, we recognize that the word saint has been shifted in meaning over the years. Now, when we think of saint, we think of those that have been codified by the Catholic Church and other ancient but not original churches. That word saint simply is the word hagios, which has to do with being a holy one. And every child of God is a saint of God. 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 11, "And such were some of you, but ye were washed, but ye were sanctified, but ye were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and in the Spirit of our God." That's the making of one into a saint. Ye were sanctified, that is, made holy. And we also need to note that as we know that we still sin, that there is the plan of God for that as well. 1 John 1, verses 7 through 9. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Christ receiveth sinful men. It's the reason He came to this earth in the first place. But why? Men need to be received. And without Jesus, they are lost. Only through Jesus can they be received of God the Father. But how is this done? The gospel calls the sinner, and then the gospel cleanses the sinner if it's obeyed. To what end? We become forgiven. Forgiveness of sins is the order of the day. Fellowship with God and sainthood. Kind of feel weird saying that because of the modern definition, but sainthood is simply the act of being made holy. There may be those of you today, and I know this is awkward to say because we're not in a position to be together to take care of this, but some of you may need to be baptized for the remission of your sins. However that needs to be taken care of, by your initiative, call someone who can baptize you for the remission of your sins at a place where you can be baptized for the remission of your sins. If you need the prayers of the saints, by the same method by which you received this lesson, reach out to me. Reach out to the congregation so that we may pray for you and confess to the congregation that you have sinned and need to be restored. God calls us. And so we respond to that call. And we remain Christians or become Christians. If we can assist you in your obedience today, do something about it. Do something about it right now.